have been blessed by this powerful teaching from the Vicarious Church headquarters, East Legon Hills, Accra. Stay blessed.
I am waiting.
Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the entrance of thy word that giveth light and gives understanding to the simple. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands, somebody, and take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Bishop Eddie has started a preaching for me, because I'm actually preaching about the emblems of the Holy Spirit. And one of the emblems of the Holy Spirit is oil. That is one of the ways of which the Holy Spirit is described, is oil. And you see that the oil of joy is one of the things that the Holy Spirit gives you. Hallelujah. But I believe that, thank you so much, Bishop Eddie, for a powerful opportunity to preach in an international pulpit like this one. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. So it's amazing. Last week we were talking about the honor and the anointing. And on Monday, I was listening to or watching the prophet preach about how I came to be anointed. And I felt like, yes, it would be a good follow-up to that, to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And the importance of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was leaving, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Luke writes in the accounts. The former truths have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, verse 3. He showed himself to the disciples, verse 4. When they assembled, he gave them an instruction, verse 5. John baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not beneath his hands, verse 6. Now, when the disciples came together, they were thinking about something else. They actually asked him that, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And look at Jesus' answer. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What Jesus was saying is that, focus on the Holy Spirit. You see, believers of every generation, including their generation, they were concerned about wresting power from the Romans and becoming an independent Israel. We in our time also have things we think about, like Bishop Eddie listed, the ozone layer, heat, economic heat affecting us. Election year. There are so many things that you can think about. But what Jesus is telling us through telling these disciples on the Mount of Olives is that if you focus on the main thing, which is the Holy Spirit, everything else will fall into place in its time and in its season. That's why he told these same disciples in Luke chapter 11 verse 13 that they should pray for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important for us that he said, pray for the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, some people think that he's an influence or a thing or a power. You know, it's very easy to think of God the Father as God. It's very easy to think of God the Son as God. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, people imagine a wind. Even when you type on your iPad, ghosts, then something will come up. You're writing Holy Ghost on your iPad, then a ghost will come up. You see, they don't understand that there's a spirit that is God. He is God himself. The Holy Spirit is God himself. So when we engage or focus on the Holy Spirit, one very important thing we are doing is submitting ourselves to God for God to fill us by His power in order to accomplish His will for our lives. Hallelujah. And that's why I want to look at some emblems of the Holy Spirit this morning in order to understand and increase our desire for the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11 verse 13, Jesus said, pray for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The first, he says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And our desire is to be filled with more of the Spirit all the time. Number one emblem is fire. When Jesus started talking about the Holy Ghost, He would make reference to fire. In fact, mention of the Holy Spirit usually comes with mention of fire. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So what does this fire mean? This fire represents one, purification of your character. And I'm drawing very heavily also from a powerful manual written for us by our prophet, which we teach usually to new believers, called School of Solid Foundation. But it's so powerful with teachings on the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son. I believe that everyone should go through those schools and get a basic, solid understanding of certain doctrines which you might not be able to explain if you are asked to teach them. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And brethren, I want to submit to you that if the Holy Ghost indeed is in you, one of the things that you begin to do is to refine your character. He will begin to burn away certain things from your life. In fact, when Jesus began to talk about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16 verse 13, He used a phrase, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. He said, even the Spirit of truth, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. You see, He is the Spirit of truth. So if you find that you are persistently and consistently lying and manufacturing lies, one day, a group of young boys and girls were taught scriptures, memorization. So later on, a teacher came and asked them, what are some of the scriptures you learned? Then one of the boys got up and mixed up two scriptures. He said, a lie is an abomination unto the Lord and a very present help in time of trouble. They are taking a verse that says a lie is an abomination unto the Lord and God is a very present, and mix the two, because I think his mind told him that if you are in trouble, you lie to come out of the trouble. But I'm telling you that the presence of a lie connotes the presence of the devil. Because when Jesus was talking about the devil in John chapter 8 verse 44, he said he was a murderer. And he said he was a liar. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. You see, so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, but the devil does not abide in the truth. He lies to himself and he lies to other people. He pretends to other people. Because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So I want to tell you that if today you find that you are somebody who lies and keeps on lying, you are a pathological liar. And even when there's no trouble, you are lying. I submit to that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't. You know, according to what Jesus said in John chapter 16 verse 13, you do not have the Holy Spirit. You may be in church, you may dress well, you may sing in the choir, you may dance, you may be an usher, you may wear spectacles, but you do not have the Spirit of truth. You do not have the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. John 16 verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So, brethren, we are saying that when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he purifies your character. We are reading from Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. But who may abide the day of his coming? He is like a refiner's fire and like fullness of verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi are the people who are serving God. So if you are serving God in any capacity in church, receive the fire of the Holy Ghost to purify you as you are serving. Amen. Let's read on. No, same verse. Still on verse 3. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Men and brethren, let us offer our offerings unto the Lord in righteousness. There is no point in serving the Lord or pretending to serve the Lord in church and still walking in sin. And by the way, that's why he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And if we say we have no sin in us, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm telling you that some of us are still walking in those sins because there's a further step we have to do. As far as confessing your sins is concerned, you know yourself that you've confessed the sin 200 times, and yesterday was the 201st time that you sinned again, that same sin that you have confessed 200 times. And I'm telling you why. The reason why that is happening is that you've not moved from 1 John 1, 8 and 9 to James chapter 5, verse 16. You have to move from the 1 John 1, 8 and 9 to James 5, 16. James 5, 16, please. James chapter 5 verse 16. Confess your faults. This time, not between you and God. Because you've done that too many times and you're still walking in that sin. It's time now to confess your faults one to another person. Another person, a pastor, a shepherd, somebody who can give you wise counsel. And he says, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Hallelujah. So there's accountability here. That you are sinning, but now you are making yourself subject to somebody, and the person knows that, look, this habit of yours, this soccer bet that you've been doing, that you cannot stop. That somebody even said, oh, let them transfer some Momo to me. You know, my phone is false, so please receive Momo from me. Between the time you receive the Momo and the next day, the money was finished. Because you have betted the money away. You need to be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, as you come to your shepherd, as you come to your pastor, and he prays for you, you will be healed from that sin. We are talking about refinement of character that comes with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. We are talking about the Holy Ghost as a fire. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. May you be called holy in the church. May people in the church and people in your house and people in your office also call you holy.
Amen.
Years ago, I was working in Kolebu. Accident and emergency. And a pastor friend came to visit. When he arrived on the ward, he said he was looking for myself and a friend of mine. And a nurse came to see him and told him that these two friends of yours, I have not seen doctors like them before in terms of character. So by the time, I mean, and this nurse didn't know her, didn't know him. He was just talking to him. When he came, when we came, and he told us that, look, you guys, whatever you are doing here, keep it up. Because you have a wonderful testimony amongst the nurses in this place. Okay? And it was not, I mean, but you see, what I'm saying is that wherever you go, wherever you are, you should be called holy. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Verse 4. How will you become holy? When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. That means you need a fire that will burn away every filth and every sin in your life. May the fire of the Holy Ghost fill you and burn every sin in your life. Amen. The Holy Spirit as a fire. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. That's the one we all know. So when the Holy Ghost comes, he must come with that fire in your life. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Wow. If our eyes open in the spirit, will we see fire sitting on your head? The fire of the Holy Ghost sits on your head. And verse 4. And they all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now the last verse I want to read about the Holy Spirit being a fire is that because of that fire of the Holy Ghost, you, the minister of God, you are also supposed to become a flame of fire. Psalm 104, verses 1 to 4. We are having a little Bible study on the Holy Spirit. The emblems of the Holy Spirit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thou art very great. Verse 2. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Who laid the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his child? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Verse 4. Who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost and have you become a flaming fire? Or are you cold? But today I believe that as Bishop Eddie has challenged us this morning, let us be men and women of fire. filled with the Holy Ghost. Number two, second emblem of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is pictured as oil. The first one is fire. The second one is oil. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Ashes represent your disappointments. God is going to give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. Every mourning in your life is going to be replaced by the oil of joy. That's why when we come to church, there's something that happens to you. You may not be happy, but by the time you are leaving, there's joy in your spirit. Hallelujah. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that there might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Somebody is receiving the oil of joy this morning. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Receive the oil of gladness. You see, years ago, Pastor Benihin talks about he being in a fellowship in Canada. And some people were coming to look for him. And they didn't know who he was. But they said that when you get to the place, there's a young man, he'll be smiling all over the place. That's Benny. That's Benny. That's Benny. Have you also received the oil of gladness? If you have received the oil of gladness, then let the contorted face and the weary face be changed into a face that is wearing a smile. Hallelujah. God is anointing you with the oil of gladness. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 15 verse 13, oh yes, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Ha, ha. When you have hope, you have joy. You see, hope is a feeling that everything is going to be alright. That even though things don't look okay now, they are going to be alright. And once you have hope, joy also comes along. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Are you reading the verse? Are you reading the verse? May God fill you with all joy and hope in believing, that he may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I see you receiving the joy. I see you receiving the hope in the name of Jesus. Oh, and the Bible says in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If somebody filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, and I tell you that righteousness and peace and joy are filling you this morning. You see, that's why when we come to church, we can sing a song like, I got joy, 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 joy overflow in my life. I've got joy, 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 joy.
I feel alright.
It's not about pretending, no. No, 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 no. When the Holy Ghost is in you, there's, Jesus said, he that received the Spirit, he shall be like a well of water bubbling up unto eternal life. It's not a pretending that you are happy, but it's the joy of the Holy Ghost inside you. Sing it one more time.
I've got joy.
Clap your hands for Jesus. You may take your seats. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He's the oil of gladness. Oh yes. Another one I love. Another emblem is that the Holy Spirit is a seal. Seal. S-E-A-L. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Beautiful. To whom also ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, of his possession unto. Now that's a little blind to us. This is old King James English. So let's go to the Good News Translation. Same Ephesians 1:13, Good News Translation. Are you in verse 13? Let's start from verse 13. Verse 13. Ephesians 1:13, Good News Translation. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also. Oh, this New King James. You don't have Good News Translation? Okay. Let's read. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Next verse. Verse 14. Then you can give us NLT or something if you don't have. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession? The Good News Translation says, the Holy Spirit is the down payment. So, the prince described it this way. He says, once he went to market, the market in Jerusalem or somewhere, to buy an item. Now, when he got there, there was only the last of that item, and he really wanted it. So, he said to the owner, I'll pay part of the money, because I don't want you to sell it to anybody. So, you keep it for me, and tomorrow, I'll come and pay the rest. So what we are saying is that God has purchased us. And one day in heaven will fully be his own. But for now, the Holy Spirit is in us as a kind of down payment. That one day he will come and take us to be with him. Hallelujah. It's beautiful. One day my teacher demonstrated it this way. She brought a magnet. And then she had some iron filings and sand. And then put the magnet above. Then all the iron filings jumped up and were attracted to the magnet. And the sand was behind. And she said, one day Jesus will come. When he comes, he is the Spirit of Christ. Everybody who has the Holy Spirit will be attracted to him in the sky and will be raptured to go and be with him in glory. But everyone who does not have the Spirit will remain in the bowl like the sand. So the Holy Spirit is also a mark of ownership. God says that you are mine. The Holy Spirit in you is God's seal, because a seal is a mark of ownership. In those days, they used to put their seal on things. That this is mine. Hallelujah. And I think that is very, very reassuring. That God will keep us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this one too. The Holy Spirit is pictured as dew. Oh yes. Hosea chapter 14 verse 5. Hosea chapter 14 verse 5. I will be as a dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Everything that has the dew of the Holy Ghost, it grows. I see growth in your life. In every area of your life. As you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh yes. You see, it's worth looking at what dew represents in the Bible. In Genesis 27:28, dew represents fertility. So, Genesis 27:28. This is Isaac blessing his son Jacob. He said, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. It reminds me of a famous singer who wrote a song. I don't know whether he wrote it, Bishop Eddie, but he says, let the dew of heaven bring us a refreshing, show us thy glory, O Lord. Show us thy glory, O Lord. Show us thy glory, O God. Let the dew of heaven bring us a refreshing. Show us thy glory once more. Oh, let the dew of heaven bring us a refreshing. Show us thy glory once more. You see, when a little boy is malnourished and has kwashiorkor, there's a nurse here, there's a description that they give to him. Something old man. Do you remember? Old man. You see, he's a boy. He's about 2 years old, but he looks like an old man. Because of the malnutrition. Because there's no dew in him. There's no freshness in him. Today, because of the dew of the Holy Spirit, you shall be refreshed. You see, that's why Psalm 110 verse 2 says it so beautifully. And I see it as a prophecy for you. Show us Psalm 110 verse 2. My God. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Some of you, when you give instructions to people, they don't follow you. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, your people will begin to be willing. He says, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. A young person has dew. An older person is sometimes wizened. Tired. That's a description. He's a wizened old man. A boy about 2 years old, but he's described as a wizened I don't know if it's wizened or wizened, whichever. You can check the dictionary for the pronunciation. But a two-year-old boy should not look like an old man because he lacks nutrition. You lack spiritual nutrition. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You see, these are ways by which the Holy Ghost fills you. You pray, you read your Bible, you listen to messages, you come to church. Then the Holy Ghost fills you and you become filled with the dew. Otherwise, you are filled with premature aging. But God is giving you the dew of your youth as it fills you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 12. I'm saying that the dew represents blessing. In Zechariah 8:12, it says, "For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruits, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things." So when the dew is there, it is a sign of a blessing. And when the dew is absent, it's the sign of a curse. So when David was lamenting Jonathan and Saul, he said in 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 21, he pronounced a curse on the mountain on which they died. Second, he said, "Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil." You see, rain is seasonal, but dew is every day. Oh yes. So when Elijah the Tishbite was speaking to Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, he said the same thing. He said, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. Which shows you that there was going to be famine, and was famine for 7 years because there was no dew. The absence of dew is a presence of a curse. But the refreshing nature of dew sometimes even is a picture of brotherly love and harmony, as in Psalm 133 verse 3, where it is said, "As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forever." Let's read verse 1. Because there's somebody here, you are quarreling and you are not talking to somebody. But that is not one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Verse 2, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon." So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and there's spiritual dew in your life, you will walk in brotherly love and harmony and not in quarreling. Church is quiet. Receive the dew of the Holy Spirit. Receive a spiritual blessing that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Receive fertility that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Receive the brotherly love and harmony that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also present or typified as a dove. Luke chapter 3 verse 22. another emblem of the Holy Spirit is a dove. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved son. In thee I am well pleased. Doves are sensitive creatures. If they come around and you make any move, they'll just fly away. So anybody who wants to walk with God, anybody who wants to walk with the Spirit, he must have the sensitivity. You must know the things that offend God. You must know the things that God loves. And then it also represents gentleness. Some of us are not gentle at all. You tell people that, look, me, I don't tolerate nonsense. And since I was born, I've never tolerated nonsense. In fact, since the Holy Ghost came into your life, are you not? You should, I mean, when the Holy Ghost comes into you, you should be able to tolerate a certain degree of nonsense. At least when you marry there, you should be able to tolerate a large degree of nonsense. In case you are not aware. You need the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes. The Holy Spirit is also pictured as water. I'm about to end. This is a little Bible study on the emblems of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7 verse 37. Beautiful. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Men and brethren, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to drink. It is not passive. The Holy Ghost is not just coming into your life. You have to drink. That's why I said, God has given us powerful, tremendous opportunities in the church. On Tuesday at 4 a.m., there's flow prayer meeting. It's a time to drink. By you are never awake at that time. You say, oh, I'm tired. So even 5:02, you can't wake up. But when it's time to go to work, you can get up and go to work. Because you are not focusing on the Spirit. You see, that's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, please, there are many things that you can crave your attention. Many, many things. Your job, your promotion, your plans, your investments. Like the disciples told him, Jesus, is it now time? You see, because when Jesus came back from the dead, I'm sure the disciples saw that, hey, this is a wonderful opportunity. I'm sure if it was a Nigerian movie, oh, it couldn't have ended with the resurrection of Jesus. Like Jesus has resurrected. No. That's not a nice ending. Pontius Pilate to be dead and somebody will slap him. Pah! Then. Herod will be there, no, then some white thing will appear before him. Hey, what am I seeing? I said, Jesus, I'm Jesus. And the soldiers say, yay. they'll be walking on, and they'll feel a nail going into their ribs. Hey! But Jesus said, no, we are not into those things. We are not into those things. We are concentrating on the spirits. So he said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I want to submit to you that since that time, the Holy Ghost has been given. So if you are not full of the Holy Spirit, the one to blame is yourself. If you are not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you are the one who is not drinking. But I believe that from today, you will begin to desire and you begin to thirst and you begin to want the involvement of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh yes. That's when Paul was ending his writing to the book of Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion. Communion means participation. Communion means partnership. Communion means friendship. May you and I begin to commune with the Holy Spirit. Oh yes. When I was thinking about this, I remember years ago, I was going to somewhere, I don't know whether we were going to Kumasi or somewhere around Suhum, our car suffered a breakdown. In fact, there were two cars traveling together. One of them, his windscreen got shattered. Just, you know how a windscreen can shatter into 1,000 pieces and just all the pieces come down. And so the journey was aborted. And we had to have a mechanic come and work on our car. And I kept on wondering to myself that, will this car work? And after the mechanic had repaired the car, we set off on our journey back to Accra. And in my mind, I was thinking, will we get to Accra? Will this car break down again? But as I remember that at that time, I don't know why, but there's a children's song which goes like this. Did you ever talk to God above? Tell him that you need a friend to love, pray in Jesus' name, believe. Vain that God answers prayer. And you know, the song kept on ringing in my mind from the whole journey from Suhum or wherever till we got to our house. This one, I was thinking about the Holy Spirit. I was the one who was singing that song to you. I was the one who was assuring you, communing with you, talking to you, telling you that everything will be okay. Oh yes. The Holy Spirit is the power of God sent from another realm into this realm to help us. He's our helper. He's our advocate. He's our standby. He's our strengthener. Oh, I picture Rambo as he was dropped down in Vietnam. He was going into hostile territory. Therefore, he needed arms. In fact, I think it's Rambo 4 in which he meets some missionaries. And the missionaries say they are going to free some people. I've forgotten the exact detail. But the question that Rambo asked them was, do you have weapons? Do you have weapons? And they said, oh no, we don't have weapons. Then he said, then go back. Because you can't make any difference if you don't have weapons. Because Rambo, he was heavily armed. He had his machine gun and his bullets. Then he had his knife. Then he had his grenades. Do you understand me? I'm telling you that this sinful world in which we are, if you are not armed with power from another realm, like the Holy Ghost, you cannot overcome this realm in which we are. And that's why I'm saying, begin to embrace, begin to receive the communion and the friendship and the partnership and the help that the Holy Spirit, He has just been standing by you waiting to give you that help. But you are the one who is not receiving it. But today, begin to recognize that God has given Him to you as a helper, as an advocate, as a standby, as a strengthener. Oh yes. You know the passage we read in John 16:13 where it says, even the Spirit of truth, and he said the comforter. That word comforter is actually an aid, like a helper, an assistant, an advocate who will speak on your behalf. Receive all the blessings that the Holy Spirit can give you by relating to Him as a person. That's why we need to move from the realm of thinking about the Holy Spirit. When you think about it, you think about a wind. No, that's why we say it's an emblem. It's not that the Holy Spirit is wind. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. And He wants to relate to you beautifully. The Holy Spirit is also typified as a wind. John chapter 3 verse 8. Or pictured as a wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Let me mention these last two, then we close. And He is also pictured as the rain. Ah, I feel some refreshing coming into your life. From the rain of the Spirit. Every time there's rain, there's a refreshing that comes with it. So in Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in their food. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is a gift. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 and 39 tell us that He is a gift that God has given to us. Please, there are no, you know, like you have to fulfill certain criteria. You have to have had a job experience before you receive the Holy Ghost. No, there's nothing like that. Every man, every woman, every boy. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. That's all you need to do. You need to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody receive the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Verse 39. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If somebody is called by the Lord this morning, and if you believe that you are born again, and if you believe that God loves you, then you are ready to receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes. To everyone grass. To everyone grass. Everybody. Can be filled, can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Last verse, Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. Hosea 6 verse 3. Wow. Then shall we know if you follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. May your life never be dry again. May your life always have a refreshing. May your life have dew, the fertility, the blessings. As you commune and walk with the Holy Spirit, who has been sent to help you and to bless you. Stand to your feet and let's end. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Jesus said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, God will give you the Holy Spirit. Pray and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I'm dry. I'm empty. But today I need you. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Take over my life. Malababo, Shebani Mikataya Babandi Nibi Wasataya Baba. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit. Maloba Shekitaya Babandi Nibi Makataya Baba. You are the power, you are the strengthener, you are the one that will give me righteousness and peace and joy. Is somebody praying this morning and asking for the Holy Spirit? Are you saying the Lord? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. We are And if you are here and you're not taking that first step of the Holy Spirit coming to live in you as the Spirit of Christ, then today is your opportunity. If you are here and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know Jesus. I want you to lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you this morning. If that is you and you want to say that, Pastor, pray with me. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the power of God. I need that assurance that I am Christ. I am of Christ. Is there anyone who has lifted up? If you have, maybe I've not seen you, move here and come and stand here with me. Let me pray with you. If you've lifted up your hand, open the floodgates of heaven. God bless you. I want to pray with you. Bow down your heads and say this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me. Wash away my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Father, I thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, celebrate with our brother. Do you see our pastor? Go with him. He'll talk to you, he'll pray with you, and then you come back. Oh, clap your hands for the Lord. Celebrate the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now it's time for communion. And as you and I know, eating is a form of fellowship. And as we've said in 2 Corinthians 13:14, that may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Actually, the bread stands for the body of Jesus, and the blood, the wine stands for the blood. But I believe that you also will agree with me that the wine also stands for the Holy Spirit. So today we are communing with the Lord. It's a heavenly communion. Jesus said to his disciples that I'm eating this meal with you. I'll never eat it again until I eat it with you in the new Jerusalem. Hey, it's a powerful thing. So let the blessings of the powers of the life beyond invade your life right now with this communion. For once, believe that God in you, the Holy Spirit in you, is empowering you about disease, about the trials of your life. Somebody asks you to eat this, an idea will enter your head that has never entered before. An idea to move you forward in your workplace, to move you forward in your life, to move you forward in your business. Because suddenly you have left this realm and you are interacting with a power that has come from outside this world. Lift up the body of Jesus and say, the body of Jesus, broken for my healing. Eat it. Blood, which we are saying is wine. So today we are saying that it also represents the Holy Ghost. As you drink it, ask the Holy Spirit that, Holy Spirit, I want to fellowship with you. I want to know you in a certain way, more than I've known you before. I want you to be involved in my life. I want you to participate in my life. I want you to be a partner. I want you to feel you more. So lift up the wine and say, the wine of the Spirit. Drink it.
This is the holiness.
the joy of God coming into your life. A well is springing up within you. You have been depressed. You have felt rejected. You have felt forsaken. But from today, a river is inside you, building up. It is the river of the Holy Ghost. It is the joy of the Lord. It will overcome every rejection. It will overcome every time when you have felt forsaken. Because it says, the Lord is my helper. He shall never leave me nor forsake me. Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world seeth not nor knoweth, the world cannot receive. But you see him and you know him, because he shall abide with you forever. May today begin your journey with the Holy Ghost. Your forever journey with the Holy Ghost. Walking with the Spirit. May you have an assurance, double sure, that he will never leave me nor forsake me. My mother may leave me. My father may leave me. My brothers may leave me. A certain girl who says she'll be my wife may walk away from me. But the Holy Ghost, he will never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be with me forever. May this be the beginning of our journey with the Holy Ghost. Always by our side. Always with us. Assuring us we are never forsaken. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together for the Lord.
I am your servant. And I am listening. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God presented to you by the Macarius Church Headquarters. This great teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Macarius Church Headquarters.
I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.